God is an ocean of all intoxication, bliss and joy. And our souls are of the same essence as that of God. It is also of the same nature, same reflection of intoxication, bliss and joy is in us too. But our souls are, which are expressed in the form of attention, that is drawn or distributed in so many ways. If that is withdrawn from outside and concentrated at one place, you'll find the same intoxication in you. And you, if you become the mouthpiece of God, then the same waves of intoxication go out to the world through you as well. The masters, when they come, they are mouthpiece of God. Whenever they speak, the very air is charged. If you are receptive, you will feel rest, peace, joy. When you become more receptive, so much so that you forget yourself, you feel a sort of intoxication. It is spoken of Mahaketan Prabhu, the great saint in Bengal. He used to just utter the name of God. Every master has his own name. There are so many names of God. We are concerned, but they utter the names, and because they are one with the name, you see, with uttering, you know, their words are charged with intoxication. He went over to a place where the washerwomen were washing clothes, so many together. He just stood by one washerman and said, "Well, look here." He used to repeat the name of God, Hari Om.
Hari
Bo. So these words are, you see, whenever they come out of the abundance of heart, you see, the man speaks. That is the heart, and the soul was intoxicated. You see, the very words were charged with that intoxication. And it stood by your heart, all right, Hari Bo, say God's name, you see. He thought perhaps somebody, a mendicant, has come, he wants money. So he keep quiet. He would not utter. Then he said, "Well," he said, I don't utter. I won't utter the name, you say. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told him, "You will have to. You must." And he thought, "No, he does not leave me, let me utter the name. He may go." When he uttered the very words were charged, you see. The sooner he uttered the words, he got an intoxication, and after his work began to utter loudly, "Hari Bhagavan, Hari Bhagavan, Hari Bhagavan," like that, you see. When he began to do that, under his brothers and others, washermen, looking what has become to do our fellow brother, what he is doing, they came, "What's the matter?" "Hari Bhagavan." Whoever will utter that word, they also become intoxicated. So it so happened that all the washing places, there were so many washing places there, they all began to leave their work and began to dance next to the sea. So this is what is the do get not from books like that. This is what you can have from the presence of who is called intoxicated. Of course, he would not give you overdose. He will give you only that when you what your receptacles can keep. Actually, make the threshold fit for them, then put it in. And that intoxication comes from where? That is in the soul. And eyes are the windows of the soul. When a man is very much angry, his eyes are growing redness. You feel a repulsion like that on life. When you are in great love, your eyes will do the same things of reflection. So whatever, in whatever color, soul is dyed, the very things are radiated through the eyes. That is why it is said, whenever you go to your master, look into his eyes, before him. Because they are the place of the play of the soul. And whatever color that is already dyed, that will radiate the same thing. So if you are just thinking it, Kabir, him, you see, my master, is a very competent in, he will dye any cloth that will be given to him. But what he will do, you see, when the cloth is dirty, even you give a color that won't, I mean, look nice. He first tries to wash the dirt of his clothes, and this then gives this light coloring, you see, that was very beautiful. So, in the hymn, Kabir was saying, you know, my master is a very competent, yes, you can dye us in the color of God. He is now personified, he is the intoxication of bliss personified. Whoever goes to him, he cleanses him through his eyes. You continue looking at your eyes, you think you have the same feeling that the other man has already. So eyes are very important things like that. But don't look into the eyes of all, because you have the same color as he has got. So, company of a saint, or a master, whatever you may call, who is in tune with God, you see, who is the mouthpiece of God, who has withdrawn himself from all the entanglements of mind, outgoing faculties, withdrawn with his own self and come in contact with God, you see, and company gives wonderful results. Like, flowers, fragrant flowers, which are put in a room, the whole room will be full of fragrance. If you put the same flowers in the glass, glass will become fragrant. See, when you put it under, in the earth, in the dust, the very dust will become fragrant. So that is sort of radiation, you see, which you find in the field of area in which the person is around. Or the master works, you see. Each man has his own aura. You would like to verify that, stand in open light, sun light, and let your back be towards the sun, and look to your shadow. You find little radiation from your body. And the color of the radiation you find according to one's inner self. If a man is full of sins, that we call it black color, urine. If a man is, you see, loving, then you find bluish. If he is spiritual, then you find that color of his personal aura, you see, will be golden. But the more stronger soul is in tune with God, you see, that radiation of the personal aura goes to very long distance. Generally people have about 6 to 8 inches, everybody. And those who have got yogic eyes, they can see from there what the man is like, you see. Our master used to say, whenever any man comes, the master sees what he is, but he is not broadcasting anything. He tries to wash him away and then make him fit and give them color, you see, of what he tells me. You find, that is why all masters have spoken very highly about the meeting, sitting, in a field of action, not the master. Master got lower field of action. And the master souls, even when they leave the body, their radiation goes for miles. So to sit in the presence of the master gives you that radiation, you see. That is why it is called spirituality cannot be taught but caught, like an infection. Life comes from life. So the only thing remains to be receptive and transcepted to some person who does not have possibility. So that is why, you see, Maulana Rum said, if you have the chance to sit quite receptive, quite cut off from all outside for a little while, the effect that you have in that radiation, you see, is more than even if you sit for 100 years in true devotion, you see. So radiation is the biggest thing. So for that we have to be receptive. You remember when Vivekananda came to India at Chicago to represent Hinduism long ago. So to speak at home between ourselves, that's a very easy thing. We're all selected people from all the world over are there, and it just means something. He learned to talk. After a few minutes he felt a little puzzled. What to say, puzzle? Then he asked for a glass of water. And for that period, the speaker can stop. Then he thought of his master. He was in India, Ramakrishna Paramahansa. As he was receptive, you see, he got the radiation. And he began to talk even before getting the glass of water, you see. And continued talking for 6, 7, 8 hours. And the people were afraid if he will remain all other religions aside. You see, that's the work of the radiation of the true master, you see. He is not a man, he has got man body. It is God in him. World was made flesh and dwelt amongst us. So such writing, you see, is spoken of very wonderfully in all scriptures. So the company of such people has had only the grace of God. If you simply sit receptive, so much so you forget everything you feel. And that radiation will have a cleansing effect, you see, through and through. If you continue that, first you will all darkness will be cleansed, and in due course, whatever radiation is got in the soul, that you will die, you know. So the Kabir saying was that you are just singing. But my master is a very competent dyer, you know. When I came to him, he got the, this is the cloth I'm wearing, this is the cloth I'm wearing, you see, body is got, he got it purified and dyed in a very wonderful color. And that wonderful color was of intoxication of God. So we were saying not even the man himself who is dyed in color, but others also get the same infection, as I told you in the case of Mahaprabhu, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So this is a wonderful effect what you can get from a real master, it's a real saint. This is the outward effect. And in a way, he will give you sitting and give you contact by raising you out from the control of mind and mental fervor to give you better. These are the things which you get from a master, truly speaking. Your outward observances are the various rites and rituals, long life, devotion and other things. Of course they are good actions. They are sincere, they count. But the seed only comes from someone who is dead, that car. So that is why this company of saints has been given great importance. Because in that you, whether learned or unlearned, when you receive to your color, you die. With that very color in which it dies. And that is done through radiation when you become receptive. So, you see, in that radiation sometimes you feel that you are in him and he is in you. And that is what St. Paul said. It is I, not my, but Christ is in. Harper says, all masters say different things, who are on the way. He says, my body is filled so much so with my master. And now I forget whether I exist or not. That is the first language, of course. Then he said, I am so now full with the radiation of my master. Name is the same as I have got, but inside he is the same, not no more. So you find the same kind of thoughts. What St. Paul said, what Hafiz said, what Fifth Guru says, he said. So that sort of radiation you can have only from the conscious master. From others you can also have radiation. What sort of, in whatever color he is, dies already. For the one is a dusty man, excuse me. If you look into it, you will be the same impulse. Because it is the eyes, you see, through these things attack. Eyes are very dangerous to and very soothing to fight against. You know? These eyes are dangerous and you come in contact with somebody who is dead in the world of things. And if you come in contact with somebody who is dead with not world but world, take a eye, hell. World, take a, eliminate hell. Then what remains? World. World is gone. So he is world personified. World was made flesh and dwelt among us. If you got radiation that way, then you will fill this world. Holy world. This is what is taught to those who would like to finish, have this life as the last one on earth. So such light, radiation and receptivity cleanses away the infirmities of the dirt of the age of ages past. You're born in Christ, you might say now in the world you have to use at all. You're born in the Master. And the criterion of you ask the same question from the Master, who has become like that receptive to the Master. Any question you put to the Master, whatever you say, if you ask the same question from the one who is receptive, he will also say, utter the same words. That is, that Master is working for him. But that begins with the, cognizance, of course, some master is he remembers you. You are 100 miles away. And he gets by radiation, very soothing, very, felicitous, you see. Feeling, very well thought, you see, from head down to foot. You feel a heart of, what you say, purity and bliss. The Lord of that time, you inquire whether at that very time Master was remembering him or not. You find he was remembering, that way was hard work, you see. I had those experiences in my life. Sometimes I used to have it, and then I kept a note and went and inquired on such and such time, what was Master doing? And they said, they were remembering you. This is what is, you see, a disciple and the master slave him. But mind that this will only develop when there is no one between you and the master, not even your body, not even your intellect. Radiation, you see, radios can carry towards some thousands of miles. Why can't you have radiation from the vast system? Heart is very strong, you see. The speed of the sun is more than electricity, sun rays. And prana are still more than, you see. And the soul has got the quickest. Of hundreds, thousands of miles you can reach all across the same moment. So this is what is to be dwelt and can be had only in the company of the Master by reading scriptures for life you would have. Of course, such like you will awaken an interest in you to have that sort of life. This is just like there is a river. This, in India they consider Ganges to be the most sacred river, you see, Ganges. When it comes out, well, it's only small place, you see. On the way so many other streams join it, and all are called the Ganges. Excuse me, if you put in, say, 5-10 bottles of the wines, then even that becomes Ganges river, sure. This is something to show. When your soul comes in contact with, by receptivity with God in there, you are purified. The most sinners can be purified. There is hope for everybody. Master comes for the sinners, my man. And for the virtuous, truly speaking, they are also attached. Good or bad actions done at the level of being a doer, they are binding on you just as fetters, whether they are made of gold or iron, they can bind you. So this radiation, what I am now speaking of, can be had only through mass. Books won't be able to give you for hundreds and thousands of years. You can have united distance, you see, by developing receptivity. That is what Kabir says. Your master may be living beyond 7 seas. Just like we are now sitting in the other side of the world, back up in India, you see. And the disciple is the other way. You see? Direct your attention. You will be ready. Why, you know? That master is world personified, then world is everywhere. The very moment you become receptive, you get that. That is why all people, they are situated some hundreds and thousands of miles, to get radiation and help then and there. And somebody bears testimony, they have seen the master standing by. They are no exaggeration, but solid facts. Today also I received a letter coming here. Satyata Prabhupada came under a truck. And he said, well, Master was standing by me, he told me. Well, Master, I am body, not the masterminder. It is God who has manifested as some human power. That is Master, true Master. Of course, we have respect for that man body also, that true soul that comes out. Now you follow, there's no fear of being thousands of miles away. He's always with you. And the time of initiation is his life with you and never leaves you. Still, you are absorbed in the subject. Till the end of the world, that question. So it was God's power working as the human power of Jesus, on the Son of Man, that will never leave you. You find the satellite having radiation. You can at thousands of miles get radiation, but all the same presence physically is not, cannot be underrated. Let us look you, see somebody before you. Otherwise you can have only by going through this activity, not something else. So our master spoken of this, and something of the physical body of mind. They are wonderful presence. One by radiation, the other by human contact with the God power within. And in him it is only the God power that can give you contact with God, no other thing. Who can give you contact with God? God has got no ego, no brother, no presence. It is sad that the very man body in which he is manifested, that manifested God Guru, give you a life and give a contact with God with him. It is full speaking. He is the master. The outer master is working the physical form, you see. He will be just sympathizing with you. Sometimes he will shed tears for you out of sympathy. But let him very sick mindset. So he is all love. The more you come with the mouthpiece of God, he is God in man. If you become God man in you, you see, your God is in you. So that is why all masters have given that. So Christ also said that. You have read the Bible. You come to read Bible, say, don't go on only refutating, not going into the things what they say. He gave an example of a tree, of a vine, you see, that the branches which are in connection with the contact with the tree, they are there for fruit. If they are cut off, they don't give fruit. Then he gave by that example, he said, well, look here, I am the vine, thou art the branches. So long as you are embedded in me, you will bear forth fruit. You need what he says? This is what he meant at all. To come to a master in the world won't do, you see? Become deceptive. That you can, deceptivity can be developed only when there is nothing remains between you and the deception. You not your body. You forget. Your environment, your own body. As you think so you become. Isn't it? Very simple method. No fluff is required for that. And unlearned and learned both have the same premise. But sometimes it becomes harder for a learned man to know these very simple things. They would like to hear these things in a very high style way, you see. Some people do meet us. So if spirituality is so simple, we don't want it. They must have the very, difficult way. That is why Christ said, be like these children. Suffer little children to comfort them. Because the kingdom of God is far. What was the child now? He is not educated, he is not with any degree. He got simplicity, devotion, straightforwardness. He is true. I tell you, we smile out to you, mentors. They follow our example. They are near to God when they are born. At home and in company on the outside, out of context, make the children work. You see, I remember of a child, somebody came from outside. Father, will you pass your father, I come to meet him. He went there, inquired the father. Father said, well, look, sir, tell him that I'm not in the house. I've got a look. The child said, my father said, tell him that I'm not in the house. So you see how simple. It is we who teach them these things. Our example, even if we don't teach them, they copy us, our life. they do what they see.
Hello, and welcome to the Satsang from Master Kripal Singh. The talk you just heard was recorded on September 17, 1963, in Washington, D.C., and it was given the name Dyed in the Color of God. Our reader this evening is Rudy Cascone. Hello, Rudy.
Oh, hello, David. Thank you. Today I'll be reading from Master's talk, Who is High and Who is Low, from the March 1972 Satsang Desh, beginning on page 7. Master says, man is first a man, and then he is a conscious entity, a soul, the indweller of the human body. At the real or natural level, then we are all one. When I went to the West, I told them the same thing, that unity in man is already existent, but it is simply forgotten. All my talks were given free, whereas usually some money is paid by the people attending the talks there, sometimes through collections during the talk and through tickets purchased before the talk. And when I had the collection basket removed, someone asked me if I did not want some money for myself, and I said no. At the very first talk in the USA, a man wanted to donate $5,000. When I asked him why, he said that I had given a wonderful talk and he wanted to subscribe to the work. I told him that it was a gift of God, and as all gifts of nature are free, it should be given freely. Are any rights reserved for a master's words? There are no rights reserved on the words uttered by a true master. When the people saw that all my talks were truly given free, they could not understand what I was after. I explained that this body is the temple of God. We have forgotten this. I have come to revive that memory. So each one should return to nature and know what they truly are. Many do say that they are a soul, a conscious entity, indweller of the human form. But have they come to prove it and thereby know it in truth? This is my watch. I can place it here. These are my spectacles. I can take them off and put them here. I can take off my clothes whenever I wish to. But can I become separate from my body? Can I take the body off? It is a question of how to rise above by self-analysis. And who can give a demonstration of this scientific method? Who? By the Guru's grace, you come to know yourself. Only then can it happen and not before. When you know yourself, then like knows the like. And God realization is the next step. So God cannot be known by the senses, intellect, or pranas. Only soul can experience the Lord, and this can happen only after it has come to know itself. So Kabir Sahib says that the whole world came into being with one light. Who is high, therefore, and who is low? He resides in each being, and every soul is a part of him. But unfortunately, the world is sinking deeper into illusion, and the right understanding is rare. He is our true friend, meeting whom the misapprehension is removed. If you search the wide world, you would find very few fully awakened persons. Through right understanding, we realize we are all one, one Father, and we are all children of that one. Kabir Sahib also says, Remove this conflict, O Lord. Is the holy place better, or the Lord's devotee who sanctified it? Wherever a true devotee sits, that place becomes a pilgrimage. So how is it then that the holy place can be more important than the Lord's true devotee? The Urdu primary textbook that was used in the schools 40 or 50 years ago mentioned, "He who made the earth, he who made the sky, let us glorify him. The earth below and the sky above, this is the greatest temple of God, and in miniature, it is the human form. This body you see is the image of God. God is seen within it. How? He can be seen when the latent eye is opened. With the Guru's blessings, see that the God's temple is with you. Also, listen to the Master's true words. He speaks of what he sees. And what is the Master's work? Master is he who makes all sit together. Certain leaders of religion encourage only certain people to sit together in God's name. But a true master will gather all people all around him regardless of their religion, caste, or race. With all this right understanding, what develops? Right thought, and furthermore, right speech, and out of that right actions will follow. With one light, the whole world came into being. Who is high and who is low? It is an example of the right understanding that masters bring. And when right understanding comes to all men, then there will be peace in the world. If then a person is dying of hunger somewhere, there will be someone to share his food. There is food for the hungry and water for the thirsty. A person who will sacrifice for others will not accept sacrifice from others. At the first conference of the World Fellowship of Religion, the subject of nonviolence was on the agenda, and one Muslim brother stood up and said, "We do not believe in this nonviolence." There followed a lengthy discussion with much agitation, for all other religions and sects had accepted this principle without question. I then stood up and said to the man, "Brother, it is an acknowledged thing that where love is, to sacrifice in love is accepted. But to take a sacrifice is forbidden. For love knows service and sacrifice. Even to give one's life is correct for the good of others." And he said, "Well, on that point, I agree." So I said, "Well, the objection is now ruled out, because one should not take anyone's life for one's own selfish gain. So this is the principle we should keep before us, for it is a cure for all the ills of unhappiness. O Nanak, the whole world is unhappy. Why? Because we have forgotten our true selves and our true caste, and we have forgotten the sustainer of all life. The aim of the WFR has been achieved. Its work is done. Now, what new responsibilities are before us? After India's freedom had been gained, Gandhiji said, 'Now break up the Congress, for it has finished its work.' That is why I say that the WFR's work is completed, as it brought all religions together and much of the narrow-mindedness, bigotry has subsided. But there is one danger arising, that if all Hindus in the world become one, and all Muslims in the world become one, and all Buddhists, etc., they would just be electing huge pillars, and they would still be separate from each other. So how can there be true integration? The answer to all mankind's vast problems today is that all human beings should become one. God is everyone's God. At the mere thought of this, such people peace descends. High, low, right, and wrong are all forgotten in this realization. So Kabir Sahib is explaining that when one becomes the Lord's true devotee, all high and low is forgotten. God is love, and the soul, being a drop of that ocean of all consciousness, is also the image of reflection of that great love. As the soul's basic nature is love, so that love should have gone to God, but instead it was scattered out to the world. People fight and kill each other for the sake of love for the outer labels and formations. How can man then be happy in this world? He is happy who is sustained by the Nam. Kabir Sahib says, I have not seen anyone in the human form who is happy. And when someone asked Tulsi Sahib if any happy person existed, he said that the whole world was unhappy, some physically, some mentally, some because of mind's ramifications. In one way or another, all are miserable. When they pressed him for further information, Tulsi Sahib said, happy is the devotee of a true saint. Do not forget yourself in the world's illusions, brother. Maker and made, he is pervading all. God is in each being, and we are all in him like fish in an ever-existent ocean. He and we are not separate. It is a great mistake to think of oneself as separate from God. A Brahmin of high caste once came to Kabir Sahib and arrogantly remarked, I am a Brahmin, and we Brahmins have come straight from the mouth of God. Sometimes the masters speak very frankly. And this time Kabir Sahib said, O Brahman, you were born of a Brahmani, female gender of Brahman. Why did you not come in some different way? There is no place without God, and it is the height of illusion to consider that his creation is separate from him. The whole world is his image. If man could only see it, with the Guru's blessings, we can see him. In the Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna said, whoever sees me in all creation in me, he is my beloved. The clay is the same, formed into different shapes by the potter. All the same, they are clay, with the conscious entity residing therein. The potter molds the clay into differently shaped vessels, but the clay remains the same for all. With the same clay, he can make a water pitcher, an elephant, a house, a boy or girl. Our physical forms are made of the same matter, but he has given them different appearances. And yet, within that clay lies hidden the same conscious entity, the soul. The whole world is made of the same matter, which is constantly changing. As the atoms of the physical form are ever changing at the same rate. When two things change at the same rate, they appear to be stationary. This is another part of the grand illusion. There is one true one in all, and by his action, everything happens. This body is like a wonderful house in which we are living. The Upanishads ask, who is the great craftsman who made this body with numerous outlets of eyes, ears, nostrils, mouth, and two lower down? And yet the indweller of it cannot run out of them. The breath goes out of the body, but does not stay out, for some power is drawing it back into the body again. The human form is certainly a wonderful house, and it remains glorious so long as we live in it, we, the soul. But yet, we are like prisoners in it, for some life sustainer is controlling us in it, and that life sustainer we must come to know. God and the soul both live within each other's company, but sadly the soul is roaming around, lost in outer things, and does not talk with the Lord. He who becomes conscious of the divine plan is the true man. In this sense, the Lord's man is one who becomes a conscious co-worker of the divine plan. So how does he recognize the Lord's commands? By the Guru's blessing, he unravels himself. Also, through the Guru's blessing, he recognizes his commands by dying while living. At the time of death, the soul withdraws from the outer environments and leaves the body. If this can be done while living, when the soul rises up, she sees that power at work and retains the knowledge consciously. Unless that happens, one cannot truly know the Lord's commands. When he knows his commands in truth, he becomes a man in the true sense of the word. In the Sikh religion, a Sikh is a disciple, and an ideal or perfect disciple is called a Khalsa, which means the pure one. We may bear the Sikh label and wear the outer symbols of Sikhism, but if we have not become a Khalsa, then the whole foundation of Sikhism was formed so that Sikhs should become Khalsas. And the Khalsa, what is he? When the full effulgent light is lighted within, then know he is a Khalsa. And what status is he then given? Khalsa is my true form. In the Khalsa do I reside. Khalsa is my brave Satguru. He is a type of personality who will never leave those under his care. Now then, up to the end, he will remain. Such a person my mind desires. A Hindu lights the lamp and rings the bell. But he who lights the inner light is a true Hindu and a true Muslim. He who sees the Noor of Kuda and the light of God and hears the Kalim Akadim, the inner sound. A true Christian is he who sees the light of God and hears the word of God. Those who have reached this stage are all one in him. The inconceivable Lord cannot be seen, but the Guru told us of his great sweetness. While man remains at the sense level, he cannot see the ultimate Lord. When you are as high as he is, he then will know the High One. There appears to be nothing in the clear air, but actually there are minute beings existing in the atmosphere, which cannot be seen with the gross physical eye. Either the eyes should become as fine as those minute beings, or the microbes should become as gross as the human eyesight to make them visible. With the aid of a microscope, they can be magnified 700 times to prove that the atmosphere is indeed filled with tiny microbes. So Kabir Sahib is explaining that if one desires to see the inconceivable Lord, one must rise to that level. Kabir says, "My doubts were removed when I saw the ever-existent Lord of all creation." Only a master can really witness that God does exist. For the masters say clearly, "We have seen him." In the company of the Sant, the Lord is seen within. Their words are very clearly stated. How does the master help one to see the Lord? By meeting the Satguru that eye sees, and within this dwelling he realizes the truth. And what do they say about mankind in general? Forgive me, but it is a very sweeping remark. The whole is blind. If there were but one or two, I could make them understand. Kabir Sahib, wherever he looked, he saw only spiritually blind people. In the language of the saints, who is blind? He is not blind who has no physical eyes, O Nanak. Blind is he who has not seen the Lord within. Whosoever's inner eye is closed is blind, and who opens that eye by meeting the Satguru, the eye sees. He whose eye is open can open the eyes of others, and he whose lamp is burning can light the lamps of others. Kabir Sahib says, he saw the Lord in this physical temple, so why can we not see him also? Because the mind stands in between. Still the mind, and then you will see. One Muslim faker puts it very plainly and says that if one puts a foot on the mind and controls it. Then the next step will be at the Lord's door. On the occasion of my Golden Jubilee celebrations, they requested me to give some good advice in a very few words. So I said, be good, do good, and be one. It is a complete principle to live by. Guru Arjan Sahib gives the best cure for all ills. Mahatmas are very wide awake persons. They see where the shoe pinches. They know all the difficulties. And they also know the cure for them. Sit together, my brothers, and remove all differences with love. It is the first thing to learn, for the value of sitting together cannot be described. O Nanak, it is far beyond words. This is the only way that differences can be removed, for true understanding can come when everyone sits together on one level. We are all men, after all, brothers, and when sitting together, the natural thought will come up that I wish to treat others as I wish to be treated by them. It is a simple but potent criterion. Be of help to others, and they will help you. Unless people sit together, there always exist thoughts that one is high, another is low, and so on. Forget all this. We are all men, and as souls, we are all his children. He is the great life sustainer, and all his devotees. The duality must be removed if men are to live in peace with each other. What difference is there anyway? We are all born the same way. There are truly no high and no low people. However, it is a difficult subject for those living in illusion in this world, for even when all sit together, they end up by erecting their own social groups, pillars. And when the masters come, they solve this problem very clearly and simply. They say, who are you? You are a man, a conscious entity, soul. You are controlled by that power which resides within you, which is the life sustainer. Call it whatever name you like, or put any label upon it. The fact remains the same. In the company of the Guru Mukh, sit together in God's name. We can all sit in his name, for we do all believe in some higher power. We can call that power the mighty Adam, if you like, but when can we have right understanding of it? Either at the time of death, or when we rise above the body while living. There was once an atheist who put a notice on the wall of his room. God is nowhere. At the time of his death, a small child entered his room and read the notice. Aloud he read, G-O-D, God, I-S, is, N-O-W, now, here, H-E-R-E, here. The dying bawled out inside the house, yes, child, God is now here. When he was dying on his bed, he became conscious of that controlling power. So sit together in God's name. Why? Because it is common for all. His devotees, no matter what the religion is, there is also another common level, the level of man. Just see how the single cry from a crow can call hundreds of crows together in a matter of few seconds. So why can we not react like this, just as men? But in whose company? Only in the company of an awakened soul can all souls become awakened. That awakened soul can give the right understanding. Not only that, but he will give a demonstration during which the truth can be clearly seen. Surely, is this not the best cure for all the world's misery and lack of peace? Adopt this path, O brother. Night and day repeat the Guru Mukh's Naam. There will be no pain at the finish. There is Naam, and there is the Guru Mukh's Naam. The first is the word repeated at the level of the mind and senses. All the world's worship is at this level. It is called aprobidya, or outer knowledge, repetition of God's name, austerities, rites, rituals, reading of scriptures, pilgrimage, fasting, alms, etc. All are aprobidya. These are good actions, no doubt. and they bring the fruits of reward. But one cannot be free from the wheel of births and deaths through these things. The other kind of nam is one had through a gurumukh, or master. One can become a mouthpiece of the guru, the God in him. But is there any way of knowing whether one has come to the true gurumukh? The light is lighted within and one becomes absorbed. The true gurumukh will reveal the light of God within you. And when he gives a meditation sitting, he removes the curtain of darkness, and the light sprouts forth within. This is the Gurumukh's blessing. The Sant gave me the capital, and when the light is fully lighted with, one can see the same light in others, too. This is the Gurumukh's bhakti. Nam is the panacea for all ills. Nam has two phases. One is light, and the other is sound. Gurumukh's bhakti is that through which the sound becomes audible. Go and search until you can find one who will reveal light within and make the sound audible. Each and every being has this same light within, and all conflict will leave by communion with this inner light. Play the game of Chapur of the world and Karam and Dharam, and remain in contact with Sat, truth. Karam is man's work, and Dharam is the work of society. So after going all around the world's play of Chapur with righteous actions, reach the true home from which there is no return. Control the kama, desire, anger, greed, attachment. This play is loved by the Lord. Kama attacks through the eyes. Anger, ears, attachment comes through embracing. Rise above all these and you will gain connection with the truth. Arise before sunrise and take a bath. Spend the night in sweet remembrance of God. When you sit for meditation, be wide awake. If you sleep in remembrance of God, the very thought will be circulating in your bloodstream. And when you awaken, you will arise in his sweet remembrance. They say that if one's early mornings are wasted in sleep, one dies before living. My Satguru takes me across all troubles. With happiness and ease, I reach home. While performing all the necessary worldly duties, yet take the help of a Sat Sarup, someone who has realized the truth. He will rectify all the wrongs in your life and put you on the right track. Inner obstacles are more dangerous than the outer ones, but he will safely take you across all of that. Taking the Guru as protector and living his commands, Kabir says, that kind of devotion has no fear in all the three worlds. God himself plays, and he himself sees. God himself creates the play. It is all his will, but why? This he alone knows. O Nanak, one who follows in the wake of a Gurumukh returns to his true home. When one leaves this life's play, one should leave winning. Become a Gurumukh. He is one with the Guru. And what is the Guru? He manifests himself in the Guru and distributes the Shab. He is the Word made flesh. He is manifested God in man. God in man or man in God. He gives advice at the physical and intellectual levels, and he feeds the soul with the bread of life. Food to the body means to eat and drink. Food for the intellect means to read, write, and think. But the soul's food is consciousness. So the very bread of life is gained through connection with the all consciousness. He whose soul is strong can drag many broken down vehicles. Where is food available? It already exists within every human being on this earth. It is the very sustainer of all life. But to be aware of it, the soul must withdraw itself from attachments and outer attractions. Upon the spiritual health depends the life of mind and body both. And the cure of all ills is right understanding. So seek the company of an awakened person, a gurumukh otherwise. When the blind lead the blind, both fall into the ditch. I'll end it right there. I'm reading from the second half of Master's talk, Who is High and Who is Low, from the March 1972 Satsang Desh. And thank you, Master, for the lovely words and the words of truth. And thank you all for listening.
Great. Thank you. There were 56 people at this evening's satsang. Thank you, everyone, for listening. And thank you, Master, for providing this for us.
So this is the high time. Man body is the golden opportunity that we have got. Why? Because in this man body only we can know God and in no other body.